Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Soulfish on Albany. My guest today, I'm your host, Cynthia Poole, and my guest today, Joe.
Yeah.
We're on the air. My guest today is Joe Sullivan, and Joe is here to talk about the school board elections that are going to be happening in the city of Albany. So, Joe, what can you enlighten our listeners about?
Well, first of all, there are two vacancies on the November ballot for the school board, and there are two candidates that have qualified for the ballot, and they're candidates that have been around before and run for the school board in prior elections. There are no challengers, and I think that that's wrong. There ought to be challengers because the school board makes very important decisions that affect all the property taxpayers, the homeowners in the city of Albany.
Now, what have you seen, heard, or read of the positions of these two candidates?
Nothing, and I haven't made any effort to really look, but from what I recall from when they ran for prior offices, the last time there were elections a year or two ago for these same seats, these candidates were both on the ballot at that time, but they weren't successful. But what I'm concerned about with how I feel about the school board, it really gets back to we don't really, as citizens, have much control over them. And a perfect example of what goes on is they want to put allegedly a temporary fourth middle school in operation. And, of course, they've scheduled a vote on this when it should be on the ballot in November, this coming November 8th, when the general election is underway. But, again, they take an end run and they're having an election on that particular ballot proposition on January 10th. Now, this is barely after the new year. It's wintertime. People aren't paying attention. So there's very low turnouts whenever they have these off-time elections. And this is the MO of the school board, is they hold their budget votes as far as for propositions for like a new high school when they wanted to reconstruct the high school. They held that in February of last year. And now here they go again for a fourth middle school. And really what we need to do, we've got to solve this problem here. We have a city within a city. You have a city government which taxes the people. We pay taxes to the city government. And then you have the school district and we pay taxes to support the school district. Now, the school district taxes are the biggest bite out of the property tax base for homeowners and businesses and so forth. And yet we don't really have control of these people. They go around and they have these shenanigan elections at off times. They have a low turnout of they know who their supporters are, and they get them out to the polls, and they get these ballot propositions for construction or new schools, what have you, renovations, and they're all done on the sly at off times. So what has to happen? Yes?
No, go ahead.
What has to happen is we've got to, we're hearing talk about consolidation of local governments. Well, what has to happen is these are city schools. They should be consolidated with the city government. The school board should be abolished, and what you should have is one property tax roll to support both the city government and the city schools. Currently, like our school taxes are due at the end of September 30th each year, and then the city taxes are due January 31st, the beginning of each year.
Mm-hmm.
So there should be one tax roll, they should go back to K-8 neighborhood schools. Abolish the middle schools. We don't need them. We should go back to K-8 neighborhood schools. And the argument for that is you can actually have better tracking and you can actually help children that are having problems when they go to the same school from kindergarten right up to the eighth grade. When you take kids and you put them in like six, seven, eight into a school, you have a lot of problems that have developed by that time, and you have all sorts of difficulties for schools, there's discipline problems and so forth. So it's much better to return to a K-8 neighborhood school system. And then finally, what should happen is the mayor and the common council members in the city, there are 15 of them, they should be responsible and accountable for the functioning, the operation of, and financing of the public schools. So that's what has to happen. Otherwise, we're just simply, taxpayers are just being drained dry in this city and every other locality where we have these situations.
From your understanding, now the school board, they are not paid positions, correct?
No, they're not paid positions, but what they are, they're stepping stones for people with political aspirations. If you look at the, the current mayor, you look at the current assemblywoman, they're all products of the Albany City School Board farm team. They're either involved first in the school boards or the PTAs, and then before you know it, they're popping up and running for elections.
I don't see too much wrong with parents and citizens getting involved in the PTA. Do you?
No. In fact, there has to be more involvement of parents in the education of their children. And that's a fundamental problem why the schools aren't performing as well. You have very good teachers, but you have enormous discipline problems. You have a lack of respect for learning. When you look at so many of the kids that are attending the public schools, they're not motivated to learn. They don't really have a respect they don't value learning. They're just there.
Uh-huh.
It's like going to jail. They may as well have jumpsuits on with the attitude that a lot of them have. Now, there are good kids that want to learn, but they're actually, when they're trying to learn, they're distracted by all of the discipline problems. And this is why people are fleeing the cities, especially Albany. When their children, they might keep them in a local school for the early grades, and then they just move out of town. They go to the town somewhere, to Bethlehem or Gilderland or Colony or somewhere else. They move out. So there's a continual drain on the property tax base of people who can afford to pay the taxes. They're generally better off economically, but they leave town. So then the city becomes the home of the poor and the elderly and the disadvantaged. And this creates a major problem for the remaining homeowners who are largely senior citizens on fixed incomes.
So if there was no school board and it was overseen by the county council, how would they change the tax base? How would that change the tax base?
This would require the Assemblywoman Fahey and Assemblyman McDonald, the people that and Senator Breslin, the people that allegedly represent us at the state senate and state assembly levels, to
uh-huh.
put in legislation to change the whole system, the way. What I'm advocating, actually, is these are city schools. They should be under the control of the city government. And then you're going to have more accountability, because they are city schools. And
okay.
But in order for the changes to occur, there have to be changes in the state education law. The Common Council, for example, would have to submit a home rule message to the representatives who allegedly represent us, and then they would have to carry the legislation and try to get it passed through the state legislative process and signed into law by the governor. So that's the route that would have to go. But there's always been a lot of talk about consolidation, but they've limited their consolidation. In fact, Governor Cuomo is a strong proponent of consolidating local governments to save taxpayers money and to make things more efficient. Well, isn't it more efficient to, since they're city schools, to have them under the administration of the city government, and then the people know who's accountable for the operation and functioning of those schools, and we have some redress as citizens?
But I think the big issue right now is how to make these candidates accountable to the people who they're supposedly going to represent. I had asked one of the candidates to come on Focus on Albany,
yes,
and that person didn't. So if there's going to be a wall of silence, what can you do?
Well, what I'm suggesting, consolidate the city schools with the city government, abolish the school board, get rid of it. It's really an extra governmental body that has no accountability to the people at all, and we're the people that pay the taxes. So that's the solution to it, because here you have people running for school board who run before. They're all part of the clique that seeks school board office and eventually gets in there when they don't have any opposition. And then we don't have any power over them. They just simply make decisions like this, scheduling this January 10th vote. This is deliberate, and it's deliberately set for January 10th to have the proposition, which involves certain spending of money and so forth. And we don't need a fourth middle school. We've got to restructure the whole school system to go back to K-8 neighborhood schools. They worked for many hundreds of years. So the neighborhood schools are better for children because they can walk to school. They have the security of being in the same school for their formative years. Kids that have problems can be tracked and helped sooner instead of busing them all over the city and moving them from, like playing checkers. It's musical chairs for schools, and people are just flowing all over the city, and they're unrooted. So there are a lot of reforms that have to be brought into play, but there has to be a thorough discussion, and the school board elections are when these issues should be discussed. But who's going to discuss them? We have to be talking
right.
About it. You've actually taken initiative to pose some questions and hold some interviews, but otherwise there would be no discussion at all.
Now, you're saying that it should be consolidated into the city government.
Right, and make the mayor and the common council members accountable for the functioning and operation of the schools. Now, the day-to-day stuff should be left to the teachers. You have people that go through many years of education, teacher training. They're quite capable. There should be more authority given to the teachers. We have so many administrators. Most of the schools are top-heavy in administrators. So we could really streamline the whole education process by giving more authority and independence to the teachers to work with the parents through a neighborhood school system. It would be much more efficient.
So how would you abolish the school board? Just say, time's up, go home?
Well, you could put a ballot proposition up, right? We put ballot propositions up for, we could put a ballot proposition, something to the effect of saying, shall the city school boards be consolidated, or the city schools be consolidated with the city government, and put the points out that I've just mentioned. Abolish the school board, have one property tax roll to support both, return to K-8 neighborhood schools. Each of those could be broken down instead of having one omnibus proposition. They could be broken down into several parts and let the people vote on it when we have a school budget vote. In fact, that's another thing, too. The school budget votes ought to be held at the general election time. Instead, when are they held? They're held in May of the year, right? So this
right.
is why the way this the system is set up now, it's set up to take control away from the people who are paying the taxes and also people who have the kids in the schools. And it's just run by these so-called school boards who just make all sorts of decisions and take end runs around the taxpayers, and then we have a complete mess.
Okay, let's take the big controversy over the high school that was talked about a year ago.
Right.
You know, it was the vote was in February.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was, refresh my memory, it was close, and then they had another vote, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So here's the thing. With the other vote, it was passed.
The February vote, let's just back up a minute. The February vote was full of all irregularities.
Correct.
There were insufficient ballots. People were turned away. They got disgusted. There were long lines. There were only a few polling places, which is a favorite tactic of the school board, to discourage turnout. Because people are working. It's wintertime when they have these things. The elderly people don't come out because they're afraid to fall on the ice or the snow, or they're not going to, they're just simply not going to go to the polls for a variety of reasons. So you have a small turnout, and then when there's an issue like this, there was a large turnout, but the school board did not have sufficient number of ballots. They had not a sufficient number of machines, so they created a log jam, and I say it was deliberate. Certainly it was incompetent, that's for sure, but it's really deliberate, frankly. Mm-hmm. Because they didn't want the voters to turn out. And where did they run out of ballots? They ran out of ballots in the uptown wards of the city of Albany, where you have the homeowners that pay the lion's share of the property taxes that support the city schools and city government. So it's all a scam. It's a sham, the way it's set up. Dishonest.
So with the election this year with the two candidates that are up, since they have not become public about where they stand on certain issues, the same thing's going to happen again. The
sure.
same thing will happen again. And, you know, last time there was, my count as I remember, you know, he was a strong opponent of the school, and he worked on that. And then once the second vote took place, nobody heard anything from any of the opponents. It just went through. So the same thing will happen again.
Right.
So,
and actually what happened, now Mike Connors is a very decent individual, and he really has the welfare of the people and the children at heart. And what happened with that, what should have been done when all these irregularities occurred, they should have, I recommended that they go to court immediately and impound the ballots, you know, keep all the evidence of all the shenanigans, and
uh-huh.
then, you know, go over every ballot and see who voted, and et cetera, sort it all out. And there should have been a new election called, but it should have been properly done. But it was too late by that time because Mike and some others chose to go, and they wanted to go to federal court, which is a waste of time. Education is a state and local responsibility. It's not a responsibility of federal government. And that's another thing that has to change. You know, since the beginning of the country, education has been a local matter. It should be returned to local control. And you can't have really local control when the people are shut out. But when you have these crooked elections, and that's why people are disgusted and they don't vote. When the turnouts are very low, like when you look at any school budget vote, it's probably about Albany's a city of a little less than 100,000 now. It's probably it could be more now because it's a sanctuary city and you have a lot of illegals and refugees and all that. I mean, in fact, this is one reason why they need a middle school. I'd like to challenge the people What difference does it make now because there are no opponents? But the school board should really give the public a report and let us know how many children are in schools that are not citizens. They're people that are refugees. Their parent or parents are on the welfare roll. They don't pay property taxes. All that extra burden of all of these flooding the country with refugees, which the current federal administration is doing, and the next would-be president wants to do, is further going to harm the whole tax base. It's going to cause all sorts of problems, and the spending will never end. So when you're looking at the problem of the schools, the federal government should get out of education. You know, they can provide information and so forth like that, but the school control should be returned to the local districts and the state. But you also have to have changes in the state and federal laws to accomplish those goals. Otherwise, we're never going to solve our education problems. It's just going to go on and on the way it is. You look at every major urban area has problems with schools and the education because they have too many kids that don't want to learn, that don't appreciate learning. You have too many discipline problems because of the terrible living conditions that the children come from as far as their households and their neighborhoods.
Let me ask you this question, Joe.
Yes.
You're talking about municipal areas.
Mm-hmm.
How many municipal areas where there is a consolidation with the city council and there's the abolition of the school board? Has this really solved the problem?
Well, some of the cities in New York, like New York City and Buffalo and so forth, they do have city control. City government controls. It's the mayor. Actually, it's mayoral control. They vest the authority in the mayor. But I'm saying that why do we have a common council? I think certainly the mayors are the leaders of the various communities and cities, but you do have a common council, so the authority and responsibility for the schools could be put on both of them, the council and the mayor, because then you'd have more accountability from the people, wouldn't you? Look at what goes on now, even the common council. How many citizens even bother to go to common council meetings? They're held in a little tiny council room that doesn't have much room for public opinion. And the council that we have today is largely a rubber stamp for the mayor. And there's no accountability at any level the way it's set up right now. So what I'm suggesting is there have to be some major reforms from top to bottom. But what we're talking about today is just on the local school district. Let's consolidate. Put the issues before the people. Get the discussion. People that are running for school board, running for common council, they should have to take positions on these questions. And there should be a referenda, ballot propositions put up. Let the public vote on these things. But they don't occur, do they?
What will be interesting is throughout the year I'm going to be interviewing the common council candidates.
Mm.
So, first of all, I want to invite the two candidates who are running for the school board right now for the November election to contact me through Facebook. And so we could set up an interview so you could talk about what your goals for the school are.
Mm-hmm.
And second of all, come the common council races, when I interview all those candidates, I will ask them what they think about the consolidation of schools.
Sure.
The consolidation. I think there's got to be more of a dialogue in this community can have a more informed vote.
Would you agree? Yeah, I think
that's an
excellent way to do it. Good luck on trying to get cooperation from the various individuals, you know, in doing this, but this has to keep up what you're doing, because the more you have these types of interviews and discussions, at least you're planting the seeds, and it's up to people really to pay attention to. But currently now, the attitude, look at the elections for president and Senate and all the rest of these offices, there's very little interest on the part of the public. People are tuned out and turned off. They're fed up with the way the system works, because we have all these people running for offices at various levels. They promise us the world, and they never deliver anything. It just things get worse and worse and worse.
I invite the two school board candidates to come on Focus on that, Albany, so that you could share your vision of what you'd like to see, or how you'd like to see education. And Joe, you know, let's talk again on, you know, if they do it, and we'll talk during the course of the winter on the candidates for Cameron Council and how they feel about consolidation.
Yeah, I recommend that you also have an interview dealing with this January vote. Why was it taken then? You know, get some of the existing school board, and what's it all about? Why are we spending more money? And let's have some really facts on the table. Where are all these increased needs coming from? When I look around the city of Albany, I see people not having very many children at all. In fact, a lot of couples are just foregoing having children. So why are the school populations burgeoning? Why are the needs? Why is there a need for a fourth middle school now? Now, obviously, it has to do with Albany being a sanctuary city. And that's the thing that has to stop, where you have the communities being flooded by refugees and illegal aliens, and they put a burden on the school system, put it on law enforcement, they put it on the hospitals and medical system and so forth. We just can't keep having these sorts of things going on without some discussion and some voting on the part of the people.
Okay, so as the vote for the new school comes closer, I will have a discussion on Focus on Albany.
Very good.
Okay.
And
so you've been listening. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you for doing this. I think you're making a valuable contribution.
I hope so.
And it's just not. I'm not saying I have all the solutions, but I'm saying these are some solutions. Let's consider them. And let the people decide.
You know, nobody has all the solutions, but collectively, if people start a dialogue, maybe that can help.
I think so.
So you've been listening to Joe Sullivan on Focus on Albany. If you like this show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, download on your smartphone, subscribe to iTunes. If you have a comment or criticism about this show, hashtag Focus on Albany on Twitter and share your thoughts. Thank you, Joe. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Have
Thank
a great
you.
Day.
Bye-bye.